Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
People, look alive. It's showtime.
Now live from the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studios, it's Chuck and Winkler on The Fan.
So shut up and listen.
Doors open in 3, 2, 1. Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. He's Chuck Freeman. I'm Ryan Horvath with you for another 2 hours. Then it's Bill Michaels from 10 to 2. Wendy's Big Show brings you home today, 2 to 6. Tomorrow, hashtag the return of Bart Winkler. What do you think Bart's up to right now, Freems? I haven't heard from him a whole lot.
Just probably getting some midweek R&R.
Think so?
Yeah, he took vacation Tuesday and Wednesday.
But even when he takes vacation,
But it's just kind of an odd Tuesday, Wednesday. Usually you might
Thursday, Friday.
Monday, Tuesday. But he came in Monday and then Tuesday, Wednesday took off. And
I'm behind what he was doing there. He wanted to talk All-Star Game since you guys were at the game at the United Center in Chicago on Sunday. He wanted to break down the All-Star Game, especially because it was actually for the first time in a decade worth talking about. Then he thought Tuesday, Wednesday, talking about a whole bunch of rich guys and how they spend their money. No thanks. But you would think, I mean, that's Bart's whole shtick. Is going after the Brewers for being cheap. Like, this is prime Bart season, and he's sitting at home.
Well,
I want to talk about the on-the-field stuff.
But he had no way of predicting that Athanasio was going to be saying this yesterday.
That's true.
You know, I mean, when we do a daily show, you know, we don't know. When the show ends at 10:02, you know, we have no idea really what we're going to talk about the next day because there might be stories breaking, like yesterday with Athanasio.
That's the worst part about doing a morning show.
Yeah, I mean, because but we got a whole day to marinate on what we're going to talk about. And then when Athanasio made, then we go, okay, Athanasio says that, boom. The Elam ending on Sunday night. Well, I'm at that game Sunday night, Bart and I are there, and I'm thinking, okay, we got something, we know what we're going to talk about on Monday morning, this Elam ending, which I'm buying more into than I thought I would.
Yeah, I don't want it in the regular season or anything like that, but.
Boy, I'm almost thinking, because the end of college basketball games are just ragged in those final 4 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
They are ragged, man.
Oh, yeah. Worse than ever.
They are. I mean, this foul game, because the game is in the hands of guards, because you're up against the clock, and it's guards. You better have guards who can shoot free throws and handle the basketball, because you're going to get a press thrown at you, and you're going to get fouled. You better make all your free throws. But you're basically going 3-on-3, because your big guys and your fours aren't playing any role, usually in the final 4 minutes of a game. Because it's your guards putting out a full court press, and it's on the other side, it's the guards having to break that press, getting fouled and making the free throws, and then the losing team coming back and trying to drill a three. So you're basically playing 3-on-3 for the final 4 minutes of the game. This one, the Elam rule, you get everybody involved. I'm not a big fan of change when it regards to rules and all that, but after seeing that Sunday night, it gives you something to think about. Maybe like for the NCAA tournament.
Ah, no, leave it the way it is, though.
I know, I'm with you on that, but I'm more open to it than I had been in the past. Going into this All-Star game, I was like, oh, man, I don't want to see this Elam ending. You know, I mean, we saw it in the TBT, in that college basketball tournament for the alumni. Okay, then when they decided to work in the All-Star game, I was like, oh, no, I just want the All-Star game to go 4 quarters. But then when I saw this happen on Sunday night and these guys getting these guys to play hard and they're playing an untimed fourth quarter, it's like, oh, maybe there's something to this. You know, maybe there is something to it instead of turning the final 4 minutes of a college basketball game into ragtag basketball.
Yeah. I mean, the final 2 minutes of the game, the worst part is I'll always tell my wife, too, if we're going to dinner or anything, I'll say, hey, we got to stay. We got to watch the final 2 minutes of the game. And she'll reply, well, that means 25 minutes. And she's right. She's right.
All the timeouts.
I hate when a team's down like 13 and you got them like plus 17 and a half and they'll knock down a bucket and then they start fouling. It's like, you're down 13 with 40 seconds. You're just trying to cost me money at this point.
Exactly. But you know what, though? Teams have come back. I saw Boise State of all teams come from 17 down in the final 3 minutes.
I've seen some weird stuff. I remember Virginia a couple years back in the NCAA tournament was playing Syracuse and blew like a 16 or 17 point lead, something like that.
I mean, it's amazing how some of these teams can be dead all game, not hit a three,
and then all of a sudden
they're losing.
Out,
right? You get to desperation time, and you have guys 28% free 3-point shooters canning 40 footers.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. 414-799-1250, the opening day payroll for the Brewers last season, $125 million, a franchise high. This season, it's going to be less than $95 million, a $30 million reduction, a payroll cut of 24%. Are you buying what they're selling? In the red, lost money in 2019. Let's go out to the phone lines. We will start in Cudahy, talk with Roger. Roger, your thoughts on what you heard yesterday and this morning from Phoenix, Arizona.
Well, I'm going to, if I may, off of Chuck's comment on the salary cap in baseball, and this is part of a, and I hope you just keep this in mind going forward, because I think it hits on, in a context of a larger question, and that's as fans, we are so unrepresented. You know, it's either a question of taking the sides of the owners or the players. I'm really sick of it, especially with CBAs, you know, whether it's, no contact in preseason or number of games. Rarely are these issues discussed in the context of what's best for the fans. I don't care about the players, generally. Don't care about the owners, generally. I care about my experience, and I think salary cap is one of them.
Well, yeah, but I mean, here's what the owner's got to be prepared to do. Cancel a lot of games, maybe cancel another World Series, and losing their fan base, because attendance figures are down, but they're still better than they were in 1995. You know, and Milwaukee is drawing so much better than they were in 1995, and some of these other markets are too, but you have to be prepared. You know, people thought after the strike of 95, baseball would be dead. And it would never make – it did make a recovery, but can it make another recovery if they had to cancel a World Series or if they had to go on a prolonged strike in canceling games? You know, in 1981, when games were canceled and the strike was in the middle of the season, fans did come back to games. Fans, you know, they didn't lose a beat. Fans were starved for baseball. 1994, not so much.
You know, my point is generally – you know, we're talking about things because of conflict that comes up between owners and players. In most of these sports, when have they ever come up with an idea focusing on the experience of the fan? For example, with, you know, in football and CBAs, you know, when they don't have contact or they limit the number of practices in the preseason, I could care less that the Players Association wants that. Clearly, it does not get them ready to play the first game of the season. That's just one example. But going forward, I'd like more discussion about what's best for us.
Yeah, but at the end of 2021, the end of next, not this season, but next season, the collective bargaining agreement will expire, and we'll see. I mean, it sounds like the baseball players are looking for some things that maybe the owners might not be willing to give them, but, you know, maybe we have some more issues, but I don't think the Players Association will ever buy into that salary cap. They won on that one time, and they're not about to give in this time around. Thanks for the call,
Thanks
man.
Thanks for calling, Roger. 414-799-1250. Are you guys buying what the Brewers are selling? Go back out to the phone line. Skyler's on the north side. Skyler, what is going on? Happy Wednesday, my man.
Hey, what's up, man? I actually called about being a commissioner with the punishments that I would have handed out to the Astros, but I can make a quick assessment on the Brewers situation. Am I buying? Yes, I'm buying, because I'm a person to understand. I'm just going to support the Brewers because I understand that, honestly, without a salary cap, they just can't compete. So it's like you just got to strike gold and hope you get lucky, and hopefully we can just, like, get lucky and win some World Series, because, I mean, there's nothing really to assess. They can't compete. They can't compete. They have to do it this way. I mean, they have to do it this way, because at the end of the day, it's still a business, and you're in it to make money. You're not in it just to lose money, just to win. You have to make money. I'm not going to be in the business to lose, just to win. So it go both ways. So therefore, I just support the Brewers. Whatever they need to do, whatever they have to do, I'm going to support it. So, yes, I'm buying. I can't get mad because I know they can't compete with the New York Yankees, Boston Red Sox, et cetera, et cetera. They just can't compete. They have to do it this way. So, yes, I'm buying.
That's fair. How would you punish Manfred? Or how would you punish the Astros, I should say?
You said what?
How would you punish the Houston Astros?
Oh, well, I would have forfeited the championship. I would have told them to bring back the World Series trophy, and I will also demand them to bring all the rings back, and whatever money you make, I would have put a big fund. I'll give you 2 months to bring your rings back. If you're making like $20 million or more a year, I want $10 million if you don't bring those rings back, because I'm going to make you feel, you know, you're going to feel the fact that you cheated. So I don't want you to have no part of that championship. So if you're making minimum wage, I'll take something from you, but you're going to set the big fund if I don't have the rings back in within a certain amount of time. So that's what I would have did. I would have made you understand you did not win that championship and you did not earn it.
I'd make them work for free this year. Play for free for an entire year. Give up your salary. Well,
you can't. I mean,
choose a 162-game suspension. Yeah, it's up to you.
That would go to court, and the owners would win that. No, baseball, I think what they had to do was suspend some of those guys.
For the entire year, or are you talking like 50 games, 60 games?
You know, somebody had gave a call the other day to us. I forgot what day it was. Someone called to us and said, you know, how about say, you know, if the commissioner would have said, okay, you're going to be suspended a year.
They should cut their hands off.
You're suspended a year, but if you come with some information, we'll knock it down to 50 games. Just like a guy who's maybe facing a life sentence, you know, for something. And he said, well, if you come to us, we'll only give you 10 years.
Yeah.
Well, you come to us, we'll give us some information. We'll only get you 50 games.
So you want them to snitch?
Well, you know what? We got to get these guys.
Are you going to put them into witness protection after that?
We got to make sure this never happens again.
Sam didn't like my idea of cutting their hands off. He shook his head.
Well, no, I don't know. You go that far. But
Altuve just, you know, cut his hands off.
You know what I think?
That's punishment.
If the Brewers are playing the Astros at home at this year, I would organize this. When the Astros take the field, somewhere during the game, the fans get up and start a cheaters chant. Cheaters!
Well, they're going to get that. They're going to get destroyed this year on the road. Wait till they go to New York.
But an organized cheaters chant.
Yeah. You'll see
a loud, ringing one. Everywhere they go, that should happen.
I'm sure that'll happen. I'm sure there's going to be... more retaliation from the fan bases than the players, since Manfred won't let anybody retaliate against these guys, and he's going to do everything in his power to protect them. It's going to be pretty much just the fans against the Astros.
I'm talking about the whole crowd, just a big cheaters chant. You know, the fans got to show that they're upset about this, too. So we're the fan. You know, the fan, we're paying all this money to see a World Series champion, and we find out in 2017. And for Manfred to say, too, not only about the chunk of iron, but for him to say that in 2017, fans will always know something wasn't right in 2017. Well, you know what? You should have done more about it to make sure fans know that something wasn't right and vacate the World Series title. Remember, the Brewers were in the pennant race in 2017. If somehow they would have won the division and got to the World Series and would have lost to the Astros, we would have been even more upset.
Right.
That not only we can't win the World Series,
I would never watch baseball again.
Cards are stacked against us.
Yeah, I'm with you. I know one guy that's not buying into what the Brewers are trying to sell, and you guys can give us your thoughts. 414-799-1250. We go out to Franklin. We'll talk with John. John, what's up?
Hey, John.
Hey, guys. Wow, what a mess. Man, Manfred better be sitting in a room with a bunch of PR people right now, because it's like everything that comes out of this guy's mouth is pouring gasoline on a fire. And it's not going away, and it is gonna get to the fans, and it's gonna be brutal. You know, I don't know what they're gonna do. Okay, I don't have the answers, but I'll tell you what: coming out and saying the World Series trophy is a hunk of metal, yeah, I would have done that. Not punishing the players, giving blanket immunity. Look, we are the fans, and we go to the games to watch the players. We don't give a crap about owners. We don't give a crap about coaches, none of this stuff. It's all about the players, right? But that said, the dichotomy here is brutal, because the Players Association is worse than the mob. I mean, they got these guys, you know, by the short hairs, to say the least, And we all love our players, and you know we like to see them do well. We're upset that Hader didn't get more money. But the problem is, these salaries are getting so high, and I'm a free market guy, so this puts me in a, I mean, you talk about a horrible position, but it's reality. We, you know, we want to pay these guys, you know, give them the money, give them the money. Well, guess what? You know, we just got our Bucks renewal. You know, it's coming, it's going to come down to the fans, because it's all about the fans. If the fans aren't there, the players aren't on the field making $700,000 a game. It's you know, and I, you know, if Ananacio says he lost money last year, I believe him. But here's the problem. You bought a small market club. You got a competitive club. You got a fan base that is supporting this team in record numbers. Per capita, to be approaching $3 million is off the charts. You need to figure out ways to put more things in the stadium that fans are going to spend money on. Figure out, you know, ways to increase your revenues. But the bottom line is, if you're going to compete, there's going to be a few years where you lose money. But the big picture is, this franchise is worth three or four times what he paid for it. So I don't feel that bad, because when you're making a run, you're going to buy some high-priced guys, and you're going to, you know, you're going to take a hit financially, but it comes back to you when you put a trophy on the wall. But can that ever happen in Milwaukee with the contracts and with the lack of a salary cap? I am all for the owners digging in, and it's not about making them more money. It's about giving how the hell are we going to compete with the Dodgers? And it's somehow we almost did, mm-hmm. but almost doesn't get you a trophy.
But we're okay. If the Brewers are losing money, drawing 3 million fans, the Kansas City Royals, who draw 2 million fans, okay. If the Brewers are, they got to be near bankrupt. The Royals, if they're drawing only 2 million fans in Kansas City, and we're drawing a million more than they are. What kind of financial state are they in, or the Padres, or some of these other friends? You know, the Pittsburgh Pirates. You look at those Pirate games. There ain't nobody at those games.
Right.
Well, what's the state of those franchises? If Athanasio says there's not any money to be made here in Milwaukee, what about half of baseball?
It's going to fall back on the fans. It's going to fall back on the fans, whether it's your cable subscriptions, whatever. It's all going to fall back on us ultimately. So they better keep the fires burning, because you know, if things collapse, you know, some of that support's going to fade away. It doesn't take a genius to figure that out.
Yeah, although we've always supported this team. I mean, especially since they moved into Miller Park. Maybe not so much County Stadium when, as I mentioned earlier, you need 6,000 to 8,000 there on a Thursday night.
Right.
Really, and that was generous. But let's say on a Monday night, Monday night is usually the least amount of attendance, you know, least amount of fans go to a Monday night game. You'll get 20,000 there on a Monday night. Okay, 20,000 on a Monday night in Milwaukee. No World Series titles, limited amount of postseason appearances. 20,000 on a Monday night. That's fantastic for a market like this.
If you're on the phone line, stay there. More of your calls, more of your social media reaction. Are you buying what the Brewers are selling? We will continue to talk about this. We'll be back in 2 short minutes. 2 minutes here on Chuck and Winkler. Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. He's Chuck Freeman. I'm Ryan Horvath. Tweet at the show at 105.7 FM, The Fan. Find us on Twitter there as well. You could tweet at us. You could tweet at us individually. Chuck Freeman, Ryan Horvath, Sam Schmitz producing the show. Bart back tomorrow. You could also give us a call, 414-799-1250, as we continue to talk Brewers baseball with you. Go back out to the phone lines. We will go to Racine, where we'll talk with Mark. Mark, good morning. What's going on, my man?
Hey, Mark.
Hey, good morning. No, I'm not buying, and I don't like the analogy that, is it Schlesinger used about the home appreciating from 100 grand to 200 grand? Mm-hmm. That's completely different. I mean, when he bought this franchise, it was worth how much, and what is it worth now?
$1 billion. What is it worth for him?
Pardon me? I did miss that part. I'm sorry.
You know,
my point is, even without knowing those numbers, it's like, yeah, you're going to lose money. That's the economics of baseball right now. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to pay players. You're going to lose money up front. You're going to operate in the red. But when you sell the team, you're going to get that money back. And if you don't have enough money, I mean, he's supposedly worth $700 million.
Yeah, Forbes,
which
by
maybe
the way,
that isn't enough in today's baseball world. Maybe we need a billionaire that can watch to win. You would think that the guy, isn't this what most rich men do when they buy teams? They want to put up a championship, at least one, and some of them back off after that.
Right.
I think he's happy just to have a team and enjoy the being an owner.
No, I think he wants.
He's
to
not I, going for it.
I do think he wants
Thanks
to win,
call, Mark.
I do, and Forbes has said $1.2 billion. The Brewers are worth.
Yeah, but then didn't they say that Forbes has no clue of what they're really worth?
That's what Schlesinger says. You know, right. I think Athanasio, he wants to win. Okay, he wants to win, and I do believe again in July they'll find some money to pay for some guys if need be. He's just going into this season low budget, hoping that they're going to be there in July, hoping they're going to contend. But let's face it, the lineup right now is not a world championship lineup. It's not a world championship roster. You know, the platoons they have going on right now doesn't scream playoff contender. But I think that he is just hoping to hang in there. And then, you know, he's going to fill some of the spots in July. At least that's what I'm hoping he's going to do. Because, and I don't know if he's good enough to hang in there, though, with this roster. I mean, last year, yes. You know, they probably should have they should have contended better than they did last year. You know, and if it wasn't for that September run, they wouldn't have contended.
Right.
But you got Christian Yelich on this team and a few other good players, but you know, it's you know, some of these veterans gotta be able to, you know, Lorenzo Cain cannot have a bad year. He cannot have an injury riddled season. They need Cain to be healthy and to be good.
They're relying on Ryan, and I know we already did this topic on Tuesday, but I just feel like right, Lorenzo Cain needs to bounce back. Christian Yelich can't regress. He, if anything, needs to get better to carry this team individually. They're relying on Ryan Braun a little bit too much, I feel, playing first base, playing in the outfield. There's a lot of what ifs. There's a lot of, you get what I'm saying? Like, you're going into a season with way too many what ifs. Like, maybe Jed Jerko is, you know, could turn it around, or maybe Smoke could hit 250. But he hit 210 last year with 22 homers, a career low. So there's just so many what ifs, or this guy needs to bounce back, where I don't think
that's,
you win like that.
But, you know, the Brewers got a history of that. You know, nobody wants Hideo Nomo, so the Brewers pick him up here.
Right.
And, you know, he has a little bit of success here. And you know, guy gets on the scrap heap, Rob Dibble. Nobody wants Rob Dibble, who was an aging closer. You know, the White Sox didn't want him anymore. He was great with the Reds. Brewers picked him up, thought they could do a few things with him, and they couldn't do anything different than him than the White Sox could do with him. But the Brewers, again, their history is go out and pick these guys up on the scrap heap. It used to be. And
hope for the best.
Hope for the best.
Yep. John's on the south side. John, what's going on this morning?
And some of that is happening this year.
Hey, guys. So I'm a season ticket holder. So I'm tired of his sob story when he comes on the radio and says we didn't make any money. For 90% of these guys, it's a hobby. They're not in it to make money. The Bucks owners are multi-billionaires. If you can't afford it, sell the franchise. Sell the franchise. And some of your other callers have touched on it. The Brewers were, he bought them for $200 million. They're worth $1.2. I guarantee you could sell them for that because someone would buy them as a hobby. That's what it is.
Yeah, but that next guy's going to.
We're supposed to make a bunch of money. Like, me as a season ticket holder, I don't want to go out there this year and watch that group of
losers,
infielders.
Mm-hmm.
You?
But
is there one infielder that even belongs on a major league roster? Forget Braun. He can't play first base. He'll be hurt in the first 3 weeks.
But if you
He'll
sell this franchise,
an oblique or something.
If you sell this franchise, the same thing's going to happen to the next guy. The next guy might be worse. He might operate with a $60 million budget.
Well, you got to sell it to someone like the Bucks owners. You have to sell it to billionaires that aren't worried about. You know, would you ever watch another Brewer baseball game if they let Yelich walk? Are you kidding me? I wouldn't go anywhere near that stadium.
The problem is basketball has got a different financial state.
Oh, we can't afford Yelich. You can already see the writing on the wall. We can't afford Yelich. Really?
Yeah,
I want to watch Eric Sogard play? And you think you're going to put 3 million people in the stands watching Eric Sogard play?
If there wasn't a salary cap,
it doesn't work.
If there wasn't a salary cap in the NBA, we wouldn't have a team. We would not have a team. Would not have a team here, okay? Lucky to still have a team, even with a salary cap. But wouldn't have a team. Basketball operates under a whole different financial structure than Major League Baseball. In basketball, yeah, they can go out and, you know, they got 15 players. They can go out and pay Chris Middleton $38 million a year. Way overpay for him. Okay. Whether you believe that or not, yeah, let's face it, $38 million. The Brewers can't, in baseball structure, small market baseball team can't do something like that. They can't afford that. You know, the Brewers can't afford to throw $245 million towards Christian Yelich. Milwaukee Bucks certainly can. Going to have to pay the price at a couple other positions on that team, but there's a salary cap. Yeah, but it's not like the Bucks owners are just wanting to throw away around money. Sure, they want to win too, but they're under a different financial structure.
Well, they didn't want to bring back Malcolm Brogdon.
What's that? Yeah, they didn't want to pay for
this. They don't want to dip into the luxury. I mean, teams, but they you do what you have to do.
But you know what? It turned out to be a smart move. They didn't have to dip into the salary cap.
If they lose Giannis, nobody will ever go to a Bucks game ever again. If the Brewers lose Christian Yelich, they'll probably still sell out, to be quite honest with you. People will, it's summer, it's baseball season. Hell, even if you don't want to watch the product on the field, you'll still go there, you'll drink beers, you'll tailgate with your buddies and cook out before the game, eat snacks, you'll still spend money and buy the merchandise, even if it is Eric Sogard. People will be out there buying Eric Sogard jerseys and jerseys. So with the difference is, though, if the Bucks let Giannis walk, and they're rolling out a starting lineup of, I don't know, who the hell would even be on that team anymore. DJ Wilson, Sterling Brown, Dante DiVincenzo. Nobody's going to those games. We've seen that before, though, in Milwaukee.
You know, the Bulls were post-Jordan.
Nobody's going to Bulls. Well, the Bulls, actually, that's a bad example because people still continue to support that team.
But the way how bad they were.
Right.
And the interest. All right, post-Jordan, okay, they was Jordan left, you know, Pippen. You know, Phil Jackson, when they filtered out of there until Derrick Rose came around, I mean, they had no shot.
Right.
And fans knew that.
Right, they're awful. Now they're back in the same boat. I mean, they could have Jimmy Butler and Derrick Rose still in their starting backcourt.
But they've never recovered from Jordan leaving.
No, they got two idiots running the team. For now, they'll probably be gone at the end of the season in Gar Forman and John Paxson. Thank God we don't have to deal with that crap here in Milwaukee. I'm all in on what the Bucks are doing. I'm all in on what the Packers are doing. So it kind of sucks with this Brewers offseason. But there's still a lot of good to come out of it.
Well, Giannis is keeping a lot of people employed over at Bucks front office.
He really is. 414-799-1250. Tweeted the show at 105.7FM, The Fan. Frames, your buddies over at Eagle Disposal. I'm actually buddies with these guys. Kind of. Me and Tim, we're friends on Facebook.
Well, they're big fans of the show.
Once in a while. Yeah.
Big fans of the show. Big fans of the show. Big fans of us. And, you know, they're big fans of helping people out with economical waste disposal. Man, if you're a contractor out there involved with some remodeling projects or you're a homeowner, business owner, whatever it is, you got some disposal needs, let's say. And Eagle Disposal has been there since 1978. Man, they're a veteran group. They know how to handle your trash, your waste disposal needs with courteous same-day service, letting you get on with your projects. Unlike those big guys who are always trying to sneak in some hidden surprises, you're getting none of that with Eagle Disposal. These local groups, man, these guys are going to be giving you a good price. It's going to fit your budget, and you're not going to have any hidden surprises. All the prices are all-inclusive, so no surprises from Eagle Disposal. That's what I love about these guys, because you're going to talk to Tim or Bill, 262-895-4800. They're going to quote you a price, and they're going to make sure it's done right by you. They're not going to shortchange you. They're not going to do half-ass work. Eagle Disposal, honest guys doing honest work, and they're going to make it right, get you some good waste disposal at competitively priced. So whether you need their latest state-of-the-art front load or roll-off trucks to handle your small or large loads, whatever you need done, they can help you out. If you need to get rid of your trash, it's Eagle Disposal. Visit EagleDisposalInc.com. If you need the phone numbers again, feel free to always message me on Facebook or Twitter, 262-895-4800. That's Tim or Bill, 262-895-4800. Honest guys doing an honest day's work. Eagle Disposal, hardworking company, trying to get it done for you. It's EagleDisposalInc.com.
We'll continue to take your Brewers phone calls, your social media reaction also coming up. But up next, the most famous athlete on the entire planet calls out Rob Manfred. Guy doesn't even play Major League Baseball. We'll tell you who and why next here on Chuck and Winkler on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
I had a long day on Sunday. I think I did 45 minutes on camera, and then I did the press conference. I have to say I made one mistake, at least, during that long day. And that was in an effort to make a rhetorical point. I referred to the World Series trophy in a disrespectful way, and I want to apologize for that. There's no excuse for it. I made a mistake. I was trying to make a point, but I should have made it in a more effective way. And again, I want to apologize for it.
That right there, the words of Major League Baseball Commissioner Rob Manfred, trying to defend his comments where he called the World Series trophy a piece of metal. And he's taken a beating, rightfully so, from fellow players in Major League Baseball. Also, guys around the sporting world, including LeBron James, who weighed in on Twitter last night, tweeting, "Fix this for the sake of sports. Listen, I know I don't play baseball, but I am in sports, and I know if someone cheated me out of winning a title and I found out about it, I would be effing irate. I mean, like, uncontrollable about what I could and would and could do." James wrote on Twitter, he said, "Listen here, baseball commissioner. Listen to your players speaking today about how disgusted, mad, hurt, broken, et cetera, they are about this. Literally, the ball is in your court, or should I say field. You need to fix this for the sake of sports. Hashtag just my thoughts, coming from a sports junkie."
If LeBron lost at NBA Finals and he found out the other team was cheating,
he'd kill somebody.
He would. He'd go out there and break some bones. But that's the attitude these guys should take. I like that. You know, I like hearing that from him. Hey, you know, somebody cheated me out of the title, and that's the way you should feel. You shouldn't take that. And these players have every right, the Dodger players, anybody who lost a game or lost an at-bat or, you know, gave up a home run ball, gave up.
No, through the whole thing. Do you think the Astros?
Oh, sorry about that. Yeah,
any bad that's been done because of the sign stealing, yeah, every player who was involved against that team has got a right to be pissed off. Because, you know, these guys who are playing against these guys, they're trying to earn their keep. They're trying to maintain themselves and improve themselves and be, you know, become as a Major League Baseball player. But then I find the other team is trying to have a pitcher out there. I'd be really pissed off.
Oh, God.
Getting tipped off.
No doubt. And so that's LeBron James, arguably probably the biggest face in all professional sports, the biggest pro athlete on the entire planet. He weighed in. Players around Major League Baseball also weighing in yesterday. Here's Yankee star Aaron Judge talking a little bit about it.
All I ever heard or saw on TV when I turned on MLB Network or ESPN was, you know, baseball stealing, baseball sign stealing, cheating, cheating, cheating. And that's, you know, as first and foremost as a fan, you know, I grew up a fan of baseball, and I don't want to see that. You know, I know little kids, you know, I don't want little kids who, you know, look up to us and look up to, you know, us and treat us like it's, like we're superheroes, you know, seeing, you know, "Daddy, who's, you know, why is so-and-so cheating? What's happening with that?" You know, so that was the toughest thing for me, was seeing just all the talk about cheating, man, kind of just destroy the, you know, reputation this great game has. You know, this game's given me so many great things and given so many, you know, players around the league, you know, so many great things. And it was tough to watch.
Now, Judge deserves to be pissed off, too, because if you go back, you watch that Altuve homer off Chapman. And, I mean, you could say what you want about the buzzer, and there's this stupid tattoo story. That's why he didn't want to rip his shirt off. He's shy. He didn't want to piss off his wife. Jose Altuve, obviously, that being. But Jose Altuve is like 5'3". He's hitting dongs like that. Just ridiculous. But Judge says that he feels they were cheated out of a World Series.
You know, through the whole thing, you know, once it came out, you know, I was pretty mad, pretty upset, you know, to know that we were probably, you know, cheated out of a possibility of, you know, making it to the World Series. Because as a kid, that's, you know, forget the individual awards, forget how many games you win, how many homers you hit. It's about, you know, winning a World Series, you know, winning a World Series with your team and fighting till the very end, you know, the blood, sweat, and tears you put into the game, you know, to be that last team that's standing, you know, and to hear that you got cheated out of that opportunity, that's tough to kind of, you know, let go, you know. But that's why I'm glad we can talk about this now, so we can let it go and move on to 2020, because we got a pretty good team and a lot of important things we want to do.
You know, I mean, you hear these guys are competitors. You know, LeBron James loses, or, you know, he's not loses, but he was competing in that All-Star game in the fourth quarter. All 10 of those guys on the court were, because nobody wanted to lose.
Right.
And then when you hear Aaron Judge talk like this, or hear about the Dodgers, yeah, it's more about than just, you know, we like to think that these guys are just out there for the paycheck. But at the end of the day, too, they're out there trying to compete, and they want to win World Series rings. They want to win championships. They want to go to the best teams that have a chance at a championship. And then when you find out the other team is cheating, man, that's like, I mean, I'm out here trying to work my ass off playing baseball every day for 162 days.
Doing it the right way.
Yet this other team is... you know, I'm playing out there with one arm tied behind my back because this other team is cheating.
Right, exactly. And so it's not just the fans that are pissed off, and it's going to be a rough year for the Astros. And, I mean, everybody's lost respect for him, including Aaron Judge. Talked a little bit about that as well. When Jose Altuve won the MVP award, Judge tweeted at him, congratulated him. He went back. Guys are, like, deleting tweets when they were congratulating these guys about stuff. Everybody's lost respect. I mean, some of these guys are friends around the league, too. You work out together in the offseason. Everybody's lost all respect for the Astros players, though. Here's Judge on that.
Once I heard that, you know, it's just sick to my stomach, you know, just to find out, you know, I had a lot of respect, you know, for those guys and, you know, what they did and, you know, especially, you know, what they did for the city of Houston and that whole organization, man, a team that was in last place and drafted right, got the right players in there and, you know, eventually, you know, got to the World Series, you know, I had a lot of respect for them, you know, the way they played, what they did, and then to find out that, you know, it wasn't earned, they cheated. You know, that didn't sit well with me, and I just didn't feel like the post that I did really, you know, meant the same anymore.
Yeah. I hate feeling this way, but when I'm watching a college game, pro game on any level, I always question, and maybe I'm a little tainted as I question the integrity. I watch these college basketball games. I question the integrity of the officials.
Oh, yeah.
Or some of these players. I'm seeing 95%
free throw shooters. Especially when you're a gambler.
I'm seeing 95% free throw shooters throwing up bricks at the end of the chase game at the end. I really, you know, suspicious calls, football. I see, like, really, you're calling a pass interference there?
The NFL's gotten ridiculous.
Holding, oh god, I don't like feeling that way, but I question a lot of this stuff sometimes. And I'm not saying the games are set up,
right?
But I do think
some things are kind of phony.
There are a lot of suspicious things going on out there. Okay, whether guys are cheating or whether officials are cheating. I don't think every official out there is on the up and up. I do think there's some the officials.
A couple Tim Donahue's out there.
There's more Tim Donahue's out there than we want to think.
I also think there's more teams that are cheating. Now, I don't know if anybody else is using the wires.
Absolutely.
But, I mean, sign stealing, this stuff's been going on since 1908.
New England Patriots and the Astros aren't the only teams out there cheating.
No, completely agree. They're just the only teams that have gotten caught or got called out, really.
Sure.
The thing that drove me nuts about Rob Manfred, and there's plenty of things that drive me nuts about Rob Manfred, is that he continues to defend his punishment or lack thereof of the Houston Astros. Yesterday, he actually came out and said he's proud of the way that he handled this.
First of all, going into the investigation when we launched it, our overall goal was to find the facts and to be transparent about what we found. We were successful in finding the facts. It wasn't easy. It took a lot of hard work. And maybe even harder was to write those facts down and make them public, frankly, because they weren't very pretty.
Just ridiculous.
The Astros already had a talented team.
That's the thing. And that's what everybody, all these players were saying, is what pisses us off. It was Mike Clevenger, and some of these guys were talking about it. And they were saying, like, that's what pisses us off the most, is that's already a talented team. One through nine, that lineup is already dangerous. Is Rob Manfred ruining baseball? Let's go back out to the phone lines. 414-799-1250. Carl's on the south side. Carl, what's happening?
What's going on, fellas? Good morning. Great show, man.
Thanks, Carl.
I kind of tend to disagree with getting upset with the Houston Astros. I know how it is. By popular demand, everybody wants to, you know, ridicule them. But honestly, like I said, when I was up on the call getting screened, you know, it's putting the onus upon the higher-ups, you know what I mean? And us as fans, we have to be understanding that this is an entertainment business. And anytime that you are in an entertainment business, there's going to be cheating, all right? There's going to be guys that are trying to get the edge over every team so they can put themselves in the limelight. Do I agree with it wholeheartedly after getting screened and, you know, getting disagreed with? No, I don't. But at the same time, how do you really chastise them? I mean, what do you want them to do? Do you want them to take their money away? Do you want the fans to stop showing up to games, treat them like the Dolphins? I mean, not the Dolphins, Miami. I'm sorry. I'm thinking football as well.
New England.
But either way, just their franchise in general. Like, you got to hit them where it hurts, and it's financially. You know, stop watching their games. I mean, then baseball would actually do something. But it's up to us to put the onus up on the owners, to let them know that they screwed up, and then on top of that, we cannot support them. All right? Us as fans, we have to understand we also play a big role in this. And as long as we continue to, you know, have debates about this and we were so passive-aggressive upon it, they're going to continue to do it. This is why I don't like baseball. I don't like baseball because, to me, it's phony.
Yeah.
I think that a lot of the times, just as a casual fan,
I would get into a game, and then all of a sudden, you know, it'll be interesting. And then a scandal would come up. Like, I was into it with the Barry Bonds and, you know, the Mark McGuire's, all those type of guys.
Yeah.
And then come out, these guys are on drugs.
Yeah.
I mean, it takes away from a guy like me who really wanted to learn about baseball, but one, it's too long. Two, it just so many rules.
Yeah.
There's so many rules in place. And if you didn't grow up on it, you're really just not going to really take the time to appreciate it. So then when you find out there's so much cheating going on, guys are always stealing signals, you know, always stealing signs. It's crazy. Baseball right now is a complete joke.
And it's a snobby sport, too. Like you just said.
Say that again. I couldn't hear you.
Oh, I said it's like a snobby sport, too.
Baseball?
Like, I hate... It is. Like, I hate the way the Hall of Fame...
You don't understand how the game works. You don't understand it.
It's America's pastime, and it's you know, we're the grandfather of all sports. Like, knock it off, dude. We know that baseball was one of the most segregated sports teams or sports leagues in the history of American sports. We know that they are drug users. We know that they are cheaters outright nationally. We know that they cater to the big markets. I'm so sick and tired of it. It's either the Yankees or the Red Sox always winning. I'm so sick and tired of baseball, honestly, man. We needed a scandal like this that might actually boost up the daggone watching ratings because nobody was clearly watching it. Nobody really, if you really asked a regular guy on the street, man, if you're not living in Houston or, you know, living in New York, nobody cared about this crap, bro. And I respect you guys for talking about it because it has to shine a light up on cheating and it has to shine a light up on where is baseball now? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Where do we go with this?
Well,
you know,
here's what
how much are we going to take?
When you say nobody's disagree with you on that. People are locally, people are going to games, and this is something we talked about before. Are you going to watch Dodgers versus Astros on Sunday Night Baseball, like the first weekend of the year?
Right.
The Brewers and Cubs are on Sunday Night Baseball. Now, unless you're in Chicago or in Milwaukee, or you have money on it, and you're living in San Diego, you don't care much. You don't care to watch that game. It doesn't matter to you who wins that game. It doesn't matter. You know, Sunday Night Football, of course, you know, all markets are watching that. You care, you know, every game means something. But a Sunday Night Baseball game involving two random teams, nobody cares unless you're a fan of either one of those teams
right,
or you live in those cities.
It's the same six teams every single week on Sunday Night Baseball is the problem. Let me ask you a question because you said that people are going to continue to watch games. And I agree with that locally. And I agree with that in the bigger markets like New York and like in Boston and like in St. Louis. No matter what happens, people love the Cardinals, but they also have nothing else. Baseball also has no competition in the summer. So what else would you watch? I mean, you're going to watch sports. You're going to gamble on sports if you like to gamble, if you like to wager. And if you're just a sports fan, they're not competing with anything. Like, people are talking about how the NBA ratings are down, which I disagree with. I just think that people are consuming their NBA a little bit different. But the NBA is also competing with football. And this year, I mean, the storylines were great in the NFL this year. Everybody's always going to watch the NFL. Colin Cowherd was talking about this, and he compared the NFL to Italian food, which I thought was actually a pretty good reference, because have you ever heard anybody say, no, I don't want any pizza. I hate pizza. Whereas he said the NBA is like Mediterranean food. You know, it's not loved by everybody, but it does have its following. But the NBA, like, if the numbers are down, they're going against the NFL in the beginning of the season. This was a great year for the NFL because even the crappy teams had great storylines. Can the Dolphins win a game? Why are the Lions such a disaster? The Browns spent all that money. They bring in all these free agents, and they were awful. Those storylines were great. You know, Baker Mayfield sets a passing touchdown record his rookie year. Then he's awful his second year, so everybody wants to continue to rip him because he's so cocky. He's got 45 endorsements. He has more endorsements than he does career wins or touchdown passes. So I just feel like if baseball had any competition, though, would people still watch and go out to games? Like, let's say the XFL actually took off, and it was June through August, and there was a team in Milwaukee. Like, would people still go watch the Brewers if you're rolling out Eric Sogard and you're winning 70 games?
Well, here's what baseball is competing for on TV. They're competing with summer. Summer vacations.
Right.
People are outside. You know, people are doing different things in the summertime that they can't do in the wintertime. People are outside. People are going to festivals.
Right.
People are going up north. People are going on vacation. People are traveling. People are doing a lot of different things.
Yeah, but what else are you going to do in Milwaukee during the summertime? Like, you're going to go to a Brewers game, right? I mean, I'm not saying that there's nothing else to do.
Oh,
I mean, there's plenty to do.
Look at Summerfest.
Walk around the Deer District. Go to Summerfest.
Right.
But for a sports fan, there's no competition.
No, yeah, but I mean, on a weeknight, okay, on a weeknight. If you're not going to a Brewer game, you know, chances are a lot of times people are outside. People are out enjoying the few nice days of summer that we have here, mainly from Summerfest through like the end of August, and that's it.
But then there's the weirdos like Bart Winkler and like myself, where all we want to do is watch sports and sit on our couch. We don't want to go outside and sweat our nads off in 103-degree heat, so we want to sit on our couch. What else are we supposed to watch if we don't watch baseball? The Summer Olympics once every billion years?
I know, but you are few and far between, you two guys. I love to watch, you know, Sunday, my weeknight, you know, I'll get home, you know, do a little golfing maybe in the afternoon if I'm lucky.
Golfing? You play 36 holes per day.
Okay, you're also competing with the guys who like to go out and golf.
Right.
Guys my age who like to go out, you know, who might be watching a Bucks game on a Wednesday night, but they're in a golf league on a Wednesday night.
Yeah.
Or they're playing softball on a Wednesday night. You know, I mean, you don't hate your base basketball is at the competency. People in the wintertime, it's 6 degrees. Like last night, it's 4 degrees outside, and people aren't going outside and doing anything.
That's true.
They're gonna walk in the neighborhood. You're in front of your TV, probably watching the Badger or Marquette game.
Well, it's true, you're competing against the summer. Like, there's a reason.
What do you think in summer? These sitcom people are watching summer reruns in the summer times.
Right. Before last year, my goal was to buy stock in WWE, just because anything that Vince McMahon gets his hands on is a gold mine. Like, they're just worth so much money. But in the summertime, even their ratings drop because people are out and about doing stuff. Yeah. That's why their storylines are always crap. I mean, I know that's kind of a weird example to use. Real quick, we got to hit a break as we get into our commercial-free hour. But you brought up the integrity of sports and how you just really don't trust it.
Oh.
Rob Manfred actually spoke about that yesterday and said, as fans, we shouldn't have any concerns. It's all good. It's all gravy.
Look, I think that trust is something that has to be earned or earned back. I think that we have tried to send our fans the message that no matter who's involved, if there is an allegation that involves a violation of the rules, we'll investigate it. We'll investigate it with tremendous vigor and effort. We did that in Houston. We're doing it again in Boston.
I think there's other teams who are out there cheating, both at the college and pro. You know, like in the college level, college basketball. When I see a guy like John Calipari cheat at UMass and cheat at Memphis, all right, and then he's at Kentucky and he's getting, you know, in Kentucky he's got that thing going where, you know, he's a basketball factory. The one and dones.
Well, they just punish the players in college hoops. The coaches could do whatever they
sure.
want.
Sure, yeah.
There's a reason why Beilein left Michigan. Everybody's like, why would he leave at that age? And it didn't just have to do with the money. He was sick of the NCAA, and I think it'll still come down that there's some stuff going on in Michigan that Juwan Howard will have to deal with at a later time.
I mean, look at Memphis now, the Memphis college basketball team.
Mm-hmm.
Memphis has been mediocre for about 20 years now.
Yeah, under Josh Pastner.
So Penny
he left for Georgia Tech, and then all those allegations came.
Yes.
Right.
So,
good example.
So Penny Hardaway takes over. So Penny Hardaway takes over, and now they're getting all these high school All-Americans coming to Memphis.
Right.
I'd be like, what's going on? If I was an NCAA investigator, I'd be looking, what are they doing? Of course, you know.
That's what they did to him.
With Wiseman, yes.
Yeah.
With Wiseman, and he had to quit school because Penny Hardaway was paying for his moving expenses. What else is Penny Hardaway doing there?
Right.
I'd be all over them.
Well, he did learn from the best because Penny Hardaway was recruited by Nick Nolte in Blue Chips, which is our favorite show movie.
Absolutely. You know? But, I mean, there's, you know, these college programs. I'm seeing some of these teams, and I'm like, huh, this guy, I wouldn't trust him. I would trust, you know, the NCAA should be all over Kentucky and find out what they're doing. You know, find out. Guarantee you, somebody's getting paid at Kentucky.
See, I don't know about that,
somebody's
though, Frames, because
are paid at Kentucky.
I don't know about that because, like I said, Calipari's whole thing is you come here for 1 year, two years tops, and then you're in the league the next year, and you're loaded. You're rich. I don't know.
He was cheating at Memphis.
Well, they all cheat.
Okay, he was cheating at UMass. You think he's not doing the same thing at Kentucky?
I think he is. I think everybody is. I think Krzyzewski is.
Bruce Pearl, thank God they never investigated him when he was at UWM. Okay.
I wish they would just toss him in prison. Him and Bill Self. See, I like what Bill. I hate Bill Self, but I like what he's doing. Like Midnight Madness for Kansas. They rolled out Snoop Dogg. They got rappers there, entertainers, and they're saying, "Hell yeah, we're cheating. What are you going to do about it, NCAA? What are you going to do? Take away some old titles from us?" Bill Self don't care.
Bruce Pearl cheating at Tennessee.
Sean Miller, remember?
How's Sean Miller still coaching?
How does he have a job?
How's
well, every year, though, we've heard about this for the last 3 years, right? this is the year. The FBI is finally going to crack down. Your favorite team's going to be on this list. Hell, even Krzyzewski's going to be on this list.
Well, that's
guys
coming.
That you love, Tom Izzo. But
that's
we keep saying it's coming. I said that 3 years ago. It still hasn't came.
You know, it's supposed to come after the NCAA tournament.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.